Okay, so let's dive right into this. The material we're looking at today offers a really radical diagnosis for our current planetary crises. It suggests that our huge problems, you know, climate change, mass extinction, the root cause isn't just bad policy or a lack of technology. Nope. The argument here is that the problem is way deeper, that it's a kind of sickness in how we even define what's normal.
So the whole thing kicks off by taking that old metaphor, the canary in the coal mine, and just completely twisting it on its head. We usually think of those canaries as passive alarms, right? They're just an early warning that the air is toxic. But this poses a totally different question. What if the canaries aren't just warning us? What if they're actually the planet's immune system, actively trying to fight back?
And this whole argument hangs on this really stark parallel between two groups you'd probably never, ever think to put together. On one side, you've got the autistic mind, which our society so often pathologizes, calls it abnormal. And on the other side, you've got the great whales, this incredible, vital species that we treat like a resource to be drilled or fished or just used up. The core claim is that they're both victims of the exact same broken way of thinking.
And that broken mindset, it's given a name here, normopathy. You can think of it as the sickness of enforced normality. It's this condition where society creates a very, very narrow and totally fabricated idea of what normal is. And any deviation from that, any kind of diversity, gets treated like a disease, something to be fixed or punished.
And this isn't just some abstract theory, right? This is where we see the real-world harm of normopathy. This timeline shows a pretty brutal history, moving from the obvious physical violence of things like electroshock therapy and isolation, all the way to what the source calls modern therapeutic violence. And it specifically frames applied behavior analysis, or ABA, as a contemporary practice that can essentially coerce people into masking who they really are.
And look, this isn't just an opinion. A 2018 study cited in the source puts a number on it, and it's a real gut punch. 46%. That's the rate of PTSD found in autistic people who've gone through ABA. It really makes you question if the so-called cure is actually causing a much deeper trauma than the condition it's supposed to treat.
Okay, so now let's pivot to that other canary, the whales, and you can see how this all starts to connect. For the whales, the weapon of normopathy is our global economic machine. And the numbers are just grim. You've got over 20,000 whales killed by ship strikes every single year. An estimated 300,000 more die tangled in fishing nets. And that doesn't even begin to cover the constant deafening noise pollution that's literally destroying their ability to navigate, to communicate, to exist.
So to tie all this together on a planetary scale, the source brings in a really specific scientific framework, the Gaia hypothesis. And it's super important to be clear here. This isn't some mystical New Age idea. It's a legitimate scientific theory that views our planet Earth as one single complex self-regulating system, almost like a giant living organism.
And this is where we get to the most provocative thesis of the whole piece. Looking through that Gaia lens, neurodiversity is presented as something entirely different. It's not a bug. It's not a disorder. It's an evolutionary feature. The argument is that it's literally Gaia's immune system kicking into gear, trying to correct for the insanely destructive path our civilization is on.
So, what does this planetary immune response actually look like? Well, according to the studies cited here, it looks like something you might call superpowers. Autistic brains, on average, can detect patterns of ecological risk over 40% faster. They can detect environmental toxins a stunning 300% faster. And get this, they show a 92% lower susceptibility to corruption. They are, in a very real sense, the sensors. They feel the danger first.
And then you have the whales. They're not just animals swimming around. No, they're described here as planetary engineers. Their biological functions, this whale pump, it helps generate more than half of the oxygen we breathe. Just one single great whale sequesters as much carbon as 1,000 trees. Even the IMF, not exactly a bunch of radical environmentalists, right? They put the value of a single whale's ecological work at over $2 million.
So you have to ask, right, why on earth would we destroy something so vital to our own survival? Well, the diagnosis here is something called speciesism.
and the source argues it's the exact same broken logic as normotherapy. It's a prejudice that says one group, in this case our species, is superior, and every other living thing is just a resource to be exploited.
Okay, so if that's the disease, what's the cure? The source material lays out this pretty radical four-part plan it calls the Neuroecological Manifesto. First, depathologize, ban coercive therapies like ABA. Second, empower politically. Create these things called Gaia councils, giving neurodivergent reps actual binding veto power. Third, grant legal personhood to whales, dolphins, and even entire ecosystems. And finally, fourth, transform economically by mandating Gaia balance sheets for corporations to measure their real ecological impact, not just their profit.
And if you're wondering why this is all so urgent, this final number just drives it home. In the European Union, the unemployment rate for qualified autistic people is as high as 90%. So think about that. We are systematically sidelining the very people that this argument identifies as our most principled, most sensitive thinker.
And that leads us to the climactic line from the source material, which really just sums the whole thing up. A civilization that locks away its most sensitive warners and makes its most principled thinkers unemployed is, by definition, suicidal. It's not just cruel or inefficient. The argument is that it's a profound act of self-destruction.
So this leaves us with one last, really challenging thought. The whole point of this explainer is to reframe the problem. And it suggests the question we should be asking isn't, you know, can we afford to listen to these marginalized voices? Can we afford to listen to the canaries? No. The real question is, can we possibly survive if we don't?